Amen. I love that song. All right, a couple of announcements before we get to the message tonight. It is Camp Yes, the final week of Camp Yes. And if you notice a little bit of a smile on my face, it's because it's the last week my wife will be there for cooking. So the last 4 weeks she's been gone from Wednesday to Saturday, and I'm thankful she can participate, but I don't like when she's gone. So I'm grateful that that's happening, but also grateful for the opportunity to minister at Camp Yes. And they have a good crowd this week. It's the youngest kids, 6 to 9, the kind that miss mommy a lot. So you pray for those counselors and pray for the campers. And Brother Sam Torres, who is on staff at Faithway Baptist in Ajax, I believe he's the youth pastor there, if I'm not mistaken. And so he'll be preaching to the young kids this week. So pray for them. And the twins are there. And I think we have several actually there from our church. And several went up today, so that's a blessing. Also, this coming Saturday, August the 28th at 10 a.m., is Roger Boyd's or Men Streets Ministries' annual barbecue down at the YMCA here in Hamilton. It's just right down in the city. And he's going to have a service, and he's going to sing, have some singing and preaching. And then there's lots of clothes and food and things like that. We've been getting more donations than normal here at the church. So if you came in the back door, went out the back door, there's lots of stuff there that's been dropped off, and he's been by a couple times already this week. So if you would like to participate in that, just simply show up. You can show up before 10 o'clock down there, and I've had several people text me that want to go and want to be involved. And so he just wants us to be there and kind of just get our hands involved when we get down there doing what needs to be done. And if there's too many workers, then we're just going to be participants and fellowshipping with one another, helping Roger, encouraging him with our presence would be a great blessing to him. So I do plan on being there, and I know several of you as well. But pray for that. Pray for the ministry that he has going there that the Lord is using. All right, I preached on Sunday morning out of the book of Daniel, and I know that's no shocker. We were there for 7 weeks now, but I preached on integrity, and I used Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as the examples of integrity, and the reason they're good examples of that is because they maintained their love for God, their obedience to God, even in the midst of great pressure to bow down to false gods. You knew the consequences for them not bowing down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had made was that they were going to be cooked in the fiery furnace. And so they refused, and they stayed true. They were men of integrity, and God blessed them and spared them. So tonight, I want to continue with the topic of integrity. And I enjoy preaching messages like this, but I don't do it very often because I don't have one single text. I'm going to go to several places in Scripture. We're going to look at several verses that speak to integrity, but this is a topical sermon tonight. So the topic is integrity, and we're going to look at lots of different verses. But I want to kind of just spring off of that Sunday morning message. I wanted to talk a lot more about integrity on Sunday morning, but for sake of time, I did not. So this is like a continuation of that. So we're going to look at this idea of integrity and explore it outside of the book of Daniel to some degree. So let's say that I had in my hand here a $100 bill, and its value was $100. But if I were to crumple that up, and if I were to throw it on the floor and stomp it in the dirt and maybe wipe my sweaty brow with it, would you still want that $100 bill? You'd be like, well, yeah, gross, but yeah, why? Because it's still worth $100, right? A $100 bill is a $100 bill. I walk frequently in the morning, and I often will find money up here at this circle, this Lime Ridge circle that goes to Upper James and stops. They've cut it off, and it's a big circle, and there's always garbage there. But twice now, I found money. Found a $5 bill, found a $10 bill. And I was talking to Pastor McLean about this yesterday, and he walks through there, and I was telling him about it. He goes, I don't walk the edge of it, though. And I said, well, don't. You know, that's my territory. That's where I go to find money. But you know what? I'm looking as I'm walking, and that garbage is gross, the things they throw out. But I don't hesitate for a second to pick up that money, right? It's just that can't help it. $5 bill, $10 bill, I want to pick it up. Why? Because it doesn't change the value. The value remains no matter what the item looks like. No matter how scarred, no matter how bruised, no matter how beaten, the value is still the same. And I saw this illustration when I was in college. We had a visiting professor that preached a chapel service, and it stuck in my mind because it is so true, right? And he was speaking on this issue of integrity. Integrity is perhaps being beaten, bruised, and scarred, or whatever may happen in life, but still being the same value, still being worth, and still trusting the Lord in the midst of all those things. And if we want to become more like Christ, we need to be clothed in this characteristic of integrity. It's one that Jesus wore as well. He was a man of integrity, and we can learn a lot from him. I want you to turn first off to John chapter 10 and verse 25. This verse, I've never really considered it this way until I was preparing this sermon, and I just found it delightful. Jesus, when he was defending himself against the religious leaders of his day, his enemies and rivals, he said this about his claim of being the Messiah, John 10, 25. Jesus answered them, "I told you and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Let's read it again. Jesus answered them, "I told you and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." He says, what I say and what I do testify as to who I am. You know, I told you, you didn't believe it, but the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. That is a very clear image of integrity. What we say and what we do matches up, right? Your talk and your walk are the same. And I think that's lacking in the world today. It is lacking, isn't it? I mean, if we're talking about integrity, it's hard to come up with examples of that outside of Scripture, outside of people who have a strong relationship with the Lord. We certainly would very rarely bring up a politician, right, or a celebrity as being someone who is a person of integrity. A person of integrity is validated by their words and their deeds. And if we are pure in heart, and when I say pure in heart, I mean biblical, because we talk about the dangers of the heart, right, and how it's wicked above all things, the Bible says. But if we are pure in heart, we can be pure in action as well. Integrity is making our daily actions line up with our heart's values, assuming our heart's values are lining up with the Word of God. Let's just call it spiritual, our spiritual lives. Our spiritual lives are lined up with the way that we're living. We need to value the benefits of integrity. You know, I have learned that none of us will change if we don't see the value of change. Does that make sense? You know, if we don't see the value of changing our ways, it's hard to be motivated to change. And that's why reading the Bible and studying the Scripture is so important. Few of us will pay a price for an item in a store unless we believe that item to be worth that money, right? My wife and I were fortunate last night to go to the Keg to celebrate her 40th birthday. And someone gave us some gift cards at Christmas, and because of COVID, we finally were able to use that last night. And you know, the average steak dinner, I was looking at the menu, the average steak dinner there is $40 to $50. If you want the salad and the steak and the side or whatever, $40 or $50. Now, to me, that's a lot of money, and it would be hard for me to pay that had I not had the gift card. But I laugh and chuckle because I was reading an article in The Spectator about a steakhouse in Toronto that sells a $700 steak. A $700 steak. Now, I'd be sick before I actually ate the thing because it cost $700. My first car was an 83 Honda Civic hatchback, and I paid $500 for it. So to think of paying such a ridiculous price, you're not going to get me to do that because I don't see the value, right? I'm not going to pay what I don't consider the value to be. That's integrity is different than that. Integrity is kind of like a computer. You know, when you go and buy a computer, they pretty much look the same, right? All computers, they pretty much look the same as far as if I want a desktop and I'm shopping for a desktop, they all have a general look to them. But you never know what they're going to cost until you know what guts are inside that thing, right? You can buy a desktop computer for $300. You can buy a desktop computer for $3,000, and they look exactly the same. But the difference is what is inside that computer. And so when we look at that, integrity, it's not like the steak. It's more like that computer. What is inside is what counts. If I'm going to be a person of integrity, then I must understand the value to determine if it's worth the price that I must pay. We're not going to change. We're not going to grow. We're not going to be people of integrity unless we understand how important integrity is. So I want to show you several scriptures tonight that really validate integrity. So if you're taking notes, you want to jot these down. I believe this will be beneficial to you. Integrity preserves me. Psalms chapter 25 and verse 21 says, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee." You know, there's something about being honest that is a bit relaxing. You know, Mark Twain, he was not a Christian guy by any means, but he said something that I often remember. He said, "Speaking honestly is better. It takes a lot of stress out of our lives." Why? Because if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. But if you lie, you have to remember, right? So if you lie, you have to remember what lie you told in order to keep that going. But if you just tell the truth, you know, the truth is there. It that's what happens. So you don't have to remember some fabrication. So that's person who has integrity. When I have integrity, I have preservation. I have protection. I have less fear. I have less stress because I don't have to maintain a lie. And I don't know the emotions that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had during that whole crisis, but they were firm enough to be able to say, "We're not careful to answer thee in this matter, O king." Like, it wasn't even hard for them to respond with, "You know what? We're not doing it, no matter what happens. And our God is able to save us. And if he doesn't, that's okay too, because we can't bow down to this false god. We won't do it." And I can't say that they were completely fearless, but I imagine that their faith in God and their integrity was so strong that they knew God's will would be done. You know, and that's a great comfort. And when you're a person of integrity, to have such great confidence in what God is doing and not being fearful of what might happen. Integrity preserves us. Integrity provides me with security. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 9. "He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known." He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. This uprightly is synonymous with a good godly living, with integrity, with honesty. Walking uprightly gives me greater confidence, and we walk surely in the Lord. "But he that perverteth his ways shall be known." Those that lie and cheat and try to get by that way, they don't fool people for very long. And they often get, you know, they often are over, if they're a politician, you know, they're voted out or whatever you call it, impeached or expunged or kicked out or suspended. Because they're not people who are, here I am picking on politicians. Maybe there's a good one out there. So if you're watching and you're a good politician, my apologies. But it's pretty safe to fall back on rotten politicians and not worry about messing up too much. But nonetheless, this is not about politicians. This is about what's in your heart, what's in my heart. Are we men and women of integrity? I can be confident that what I do is right and that it will prosper if I'm walking with integrity, if I am standing firm in the Lord. It gives a firm foundation. It's just like, just what I said. If you're not living a lie, you don't have to maintain that lie. You're just being honest, and there's no secrets. It's like walking in the light. The scripture talks about walking in the light. There's no greater life than to walk with the scripture shining in your life. You know, you don't have secrets per se from God. He sees everything anyhow. Integrity provides me with security. All right, integrity provides me with guidance. Proverbs chapter 11 in verse 3. "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." Boy, the Bible is so relevant, isn't it? It never expires. Scripture never is not relevant. I just think that that's a miraculous thing, you know? It's amazing. "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." We live in a world and in a culture with zero moral compasses. I mean, there's no moral absolutes. Anything goes. That's the culture in which we live in. And it's hard to, you know what should happen? If you're walking with the Lord and if you're a man or a woman of integrity, you ought to easily spot the lack of it. Because you have wisdom from God's word and you have spiritual sight. And that doesn't mean that you're going around saying, "Oh, that person is a a perverse person. They're a fool. Because honestly, if you have integrity and if you have the scripture in your heart, you're going to see that person more as a lost person who needs Jesus than you are to see him as an irritating criminal that deserves punishment. Your view, your perspective changes because you're walking with the Lord. And you're looking at that person as Jesus would look at them, right? This is what it means to have integrity, and it provides us with guidance. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Integrity provides me with hope. Job chapter 4 and verse 6. Integrity provides me with hope. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope? In the uprightness of thy ways? Hope for what? It's interesting to bring it up there. Hope that when we stand before God, I will not be ashamed of how I lived my life and what I have done for him. Now, I want to be careful there too, because I don't know. It's hard for me to assume that I would be able to live spiritually enough to be able to happily stand before God. I'm going to be scared either way, I think. I'm not scared, but humbled, because I know I'm a sinner, and I know that I'm robed in flesh, but I also know that God sees my heart. And I also know that as I am growing and I am getting right with him and I am doing what the scripture says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I know that is the path to righteousness. And whether or not one day I hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," is completely up to him. But I want to do everything I can to be a man of integrity that will please the Lord and that will be a good example to people who are watching us and who we are witnessing to. How do we do it? How do we become people of integrity? What can I change? What can I do in order to grow in this area? Well, I'm going to give you five things quickly tonight that I believe will be a help to you. Number one, ask God to examine your heart and search it. I love what David says in the Psalm when he says, "Search my heart, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me." It was as if David wasn't certain exactly what could be there, but he is opening his heart for God to search and to reveal to him ways that he could change. That ought to be our prayer. We ought to be bothered by the fact that if we feel like there's nothing for us to work on, spiritually speaking, that ought to bother you. Because we'll always have something to work on as we grow in our relationship with the Lord. And as the closer we go to the Lord, the more we see the it's like Paul said, you know, I'm the chiefest of sinners. You know, I struggle. I die daily. And we're like, wow, you're like the Apostle Paul. You're the most spiritual person in Scripture apart from Christ. How could you say that? But he could say that because he understood. You know, he cohabitated with the flesh. And the things that he would, he didn't. And the things that he didn't, he would. It's frustrating. And we can so very easily relate with that. So it is important that we ask God to examine our heart and search it. Have you ever had an EKG done where they hook you up to all these little probes and they're checking the function of your heart? Well, we need that to be done spiritually speaking. We need a spiritual EKG for God to examine our hearts and to show us the condition of it so that we can change. You might write this verse down. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 in verse 17. It says, "I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness." Do you understand that there's opportunity for you to please God? I want to be pleasing to God. I know I upset him. I know that I will often grieve him. But I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. You see, God is pleased with integrity and examines the heart to see if a person is full of integrity, or if they're full of baloney, and God knows quite clearly which one it is, right? And that's his testing. What you believe in your heart will determine how you act when placed in a temptation. You know, what you believe in your heart will determine how you act when placed in a difficult situation. This is why we need to be working on ourselves, even though you may not be going. The most beneficial time to grow, of course, is in the middle of a deep trial, because you're pretty desperate and you're just turning to God because there's nothing else to do. That's a great time to grow, but we need to be growing even when things are good, even when things are going well, because we don't know when things are going to turn bad. We don't know when things are going to get difficult. And what you believe in your heart, your values, that is going to determine how you respond to situations in life. So we better be filling our heart with scriptural things. I read this example of integrity. And this is, I don't know that this person was saved, but I thought this is a great example. The headline of this was called Fairy Tale Princess Story Turns Sour After Newlyweds Lose Money. So this is the headline of the Daily Herald in Chicago on February 20th, 1996. A newlywed couple had left a black zippered case on the roof of their car as they sped away from the reception to begin their honeymoon. The case had all their wedding gift money in it, $12,000. By the time they reached their destination, of course, it was gone. 2 days later, the same newspaper carried headlines to a related story. Finders keepers? Not all believe it. David Yee, an unemployed suburban resident, had come upon a black bag with $12,000 in cash. In spite of his mounting bills and jobless state, he didn't keep the money. Tracking the couple down, he returned the full amount. When asked why he turned it all in, he said, "Well, I guess it doesn't matter whether it's $50 or $1,000 or $1 million if it doesn't belong to you." Upon investigation, the media discovered that David Yee, acting as Good Samaritan, was consistent with his overall character. David had found $50 the year before and turned it in as well. Well, he was offered jobs because of the exposure he received. Yee said he would only consider jobs he was qualified for. He felt accepting a managerial position for which he was unequipped was dishonest. You know, I can come to no further conclusion than that this man did know the Lord, because knowing God yields that kind of honesty. And I thought, you know, that's amazing. I only wish that the paper would have given credit to God. Like, he would have said, "Well, I'm a Christian and I believe in doing the right thing." That really would have been a neat story. But you know, you will only be characterized by integrity if you prove to demonstrate it, right? If you just maintain integrity. And you know what? As far as what people think, and as far as what people, how they respond to you and how they treat you, that's up to the Lord. You know, allow God to fight your battles. You don't have to respond to every rumor or accusation or anything like that. Just trust the Lord. Move forward for the Lord. Be man or a woman of integrity and let God handle the rest. Integrity begins in our hearts. We must ask God to examine our hearts. Show us what is questionable. Psalms chapter 26 and verse 2 says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." I wonder if you're able to go before the Lord and say those words. Examine me. Examine me. Try me. Prove me. See if there be any wicked way in me, as David said. How does God show us what is questionable? And what is characteristic of integrity? Well, so we need to ask him to examine our hearts, number one. Number two, you need to study to know what is true. What verse am I going to use? 2 Timothy 2:15, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's on my dad's gravestone. I may have said that before, but that's what it says. Pastor David Turkey, and it has 2 Timothy 2:15. That's what my mom wanted. And I believe it honors who my dad was, because he did study. He studied the scripture. So we need to study to know what is true. If we are going to live lives of integrity, we must know what integrity looks like. And by the way, as you study the scripture, here's some words that are synonymous with integrity: honesty, purity, truth, uprightness, completeness. All of these are, and there's more, that are synonymous with the word integrity. If we're going to live lives of integrity, we have to know what that looks like. If we take time to read and study the Bible and apply the truths that we read to our lives, then we can live lives of integrity. Why? Because the Bible is the only standard of living, and it does not change, that pleases God. Do you know how firm a foundation the Word of God is? The fact that it doesn't change, that God is immutable, that He is unchanging, The Bible is a terrific source to go to. It's the only source to go to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord. I believe with all my heart that the Bible has the answers to life's toughest questions. The Bible has answers for when we're going through difficult times and practical truths that can make us successful in this life. And you say, well, Pastor Tricky, the Bible doesn't say in order to please God, you must select job number one, you know, or job number. What I mean is the Bible has the principles that will help you deal with the toughest situation you will ever face. How do I know that? Well, you could look at examples in Bible and who suffered more or faced more difficulty than Job did, right? And we have a process that Job was an example to us for, and he trusted the Lord in all this. He sinned not with his lips, the scripture tells us. I'm not going to go into that story, but I just want you to know, you're never going to come to stability in your life if you fail to spend time studying the Bible. You'll be like a boat tossed about in the, I can't even remember the Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it is. It talks about that we are no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. All of that is unaffected if we are firm in the scripture and our study. It pays to read the instructions. My boys, even Abigail, but my boys especially love Lego sets. And, you know, the Lego sets that they want or they get for Christmas or they buy, it might be like a big helicopter or a fire truck. And they can't wait to get home and build it. But you know what they do, right? They open it up and they get out that little instruction booklet because you got five bags full with 500 little Lego pieces. And there's no way you can construct that unless you follow the directions. And you know, you can construct something, but it's not going to be what it's supposed to look like, right? It's not going to be a fire truck. It may look like a fire jalopy instead. Well, you know what? That's a simple illustration to explain to you and me as Christians that we're not going to be able to put this together without Scripture. The Scripture is the directions, the instructions. It shows us how to put the pieces together to be what we're supposed to be for the Lord. Ask God, number one, to examine your heart. Number two, study to know what is true. Number three, apply God's word to your daily activities. Psalms chapter 15 in verse 1. So ask God to examine your heart, study to know what's true, apply God's word to your daily activities. Psalm chapter 15 in verse 1 says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. So walking in integrity literally means integrating the scripture into our daily life. And it's not hard to do if you're a faithful reader of the Word of God. The Lord will help you with this. I believe God rewards you for studying. I believe God gives you more of an understanding, and he gives you the... have you ever talked... Maybe I can just illustrate. Have you ever spoken with someone about God or maybe witnessed to them, and a verse pops into your mind that you weren't thinking of before this conversation, but you were able to draw that verse out? I do not take credit for that in my own life. I immediately say, thank you, God, for giving me that verse, because I'm afraid I fill my mind with a whole lot more garbage than I do good sometimes. And when God allows me to bring in something like that, it's of God. And if you are applying God's word to your daily activities, you're going to do that the more you study the word of God. To be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own selves. Education without application is wasted energy. You know, you're going to educate yourself, but you're not going to apply it. You've just wasted the time. Why do that? Why study it if you're not going to apply it? Education without application is energy wasted. That's why, as parents, we often get frustrated with our children, their schoolwork. You know, put some energy, put some time into it. But what they do is they just do enough to quickly get by. And then the next day, they can't tell you the answer to the problem that they briefly had in their memory. You know, don't waste your time. Study it. You know, maybe you're as I am, that feel like if I could go back to school now with the understanding I have now, I'd really pay better attention to all that stuff, right? I'd pay better attention in Bible college. And man, I would listen better to every sermon I ever heard. But, you know, such is life. This is what happens as we get older. Education without application is energy wasted. The fact is, God's word has clear instructions for each of us. If we do what God says and apply what we learn to our lives, we will by default become people of integrity because you're living biblical principles. We will have hope. We will have guidance. We will have security. We won't have a simple life. That's not what I'm saying. But have you had security in the midst of a tumultuous time? You know, when you've lost a loved one, when my dad was dying, we had great peace. We had great security knowing that he was going to heaven. It wasn't fun, wasn't pleasant. We didn't want it to happen, but we had great faith that God was in control of the situation. We call ourselves Christians, then we had better be men and women of integrity. You know, that's always, you hear that a lot, you know, that Christians are just hypocrites. You know, they say one thing and they don't do anything they say and they're hypocrites. And you know what? You can't really argue with them on that because it happens so frequently. But I don't want to be that Christian. I want to be a Christian who calls himself a Christian because I am. In fact, a Christ follower is sometimes, if you tell someone that you're a Christ follower, yes, you're a Christian, but that sticks out in their mind because perhaps they haven't heard that before. I'm a Christ follower, Bible-believing child of God. They may look at you like you're a little strange, but at least it grabbed their attention. Oh, Christian, yeah, there's Christians everywhere. Well, you know, I digress a bit there, but study to show yourself approved unto God. Ask to God to examine your heart. Number two, study to show, to know what's true. Number three, apply God's word to your daily activities. Number four, remain faithful in spite of circumstances. Remain faithful in spite of circumstances. Have you ever gone through one of those times in your life where it feels like your whole world is caving in? It seems like you won't be able to handle another day of calamity. If one more thing goes wrong, I'm going to lose it. Well, you know what? Don't give up. Don't allow yourself to lose sight that God is in control. Job was a man that went through such great trial, but remained faithful. Job chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause?" That was God commending Job for his integrity, for his character. He is perfect, upright, one that feareth God, escheweth evil, holdeth fast his integrity. We know it doesn't mean without sin. Don't get caught up on that word perfect. Nobody's perfect except Christ. But the definition of perfect, as we see it here, is a man who kept short sin accounts, who did his best to do for the Lord, to study and know the scripture. He didn't not mess up. It's not that he didn't have the flesh to deal with. He did have the flesh to contend with, but he's being honored by God. You know, he lost his kids, his home, his wealth, his health, but he never gave up on God. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Somebody give me the reference. I was hoping it would come to me as I was quoting it. Isaiah 40, 31, I think, something like that, if I'm right. Remain faithful to God, because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So number five, ask God to examine your heart, number one. Study to know what's true, number two. Number three, apply God's word to your daily activities. Number four, remain faithful in spite of your circumstances. And number five, refuse to be persuaded by others. Refuse to be persuaded by others. And I just put that's in there because, you know, if you are a man or a woman of integrity, you will often face opposition. For instance, look at what Jesus faced in his lifetime, right? While he was walking on earth in flesh. Mark chapter 12 and verse 14 says, "And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?" "We know that thou art true," they said. Job had three friends. If you know Job's story, you know that Job's friends were not the best encouragement. They essentially were trying to get Job to say, "You know what? You've sinned against God, and you just need to get right." But Job knew better. And if that wasn't enough, Job's own wife, you know, how long, she says, are you going to maintain your integrity, curse God and die? That was his wife that told him to do that. And in all this, the Bible says that Job did not sin with his lips. We can't let others dictate what we do. And I mention that because I really feel it's important. Look at the story of Daniel that we've been studying, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you know that they're standing out even amongst their own people. The other captives of Jerusalem in Babylon are not standing out like this. They are just sort of going with the crowd. They're saying, well, yeah, you know, we're not at home, and this is like do it or die. It's not like we don't love God. Yeah, we know it's not quite right, but we better do it. They don't have integrity. That's not integrity. That's just living your life to get by. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had integrity, and they stood up for what they knew was right. The fact is, integrity has a much higher value than anything this world can offer. Two verses that I'll close with. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 1, it says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Proverbs 28:6, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Integrity is something that we have to continue to work on. And when I say work on it, I mean we study. Psalms 101:2 says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And I say that verse because he says, I walk within my house with a perfect heart. Because you're not just a man or a woman of integrity in front of people. You're a man or a woman of integrity even in your own home, even in your own privacy, even in your own mind. Integrity lives there. You know, that's important for us to be deliberate about growing in our relationship with the Lord so that we are examples of integrity. And you know what? When we stand up for God and when we have integrity, God blesses us in his own way. The Bible says, humble yourselves, right? And he will exalt us in due time. And it's not about being exalted. It's about honoring God and being men and women of integrity. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I know that I didn't really stay in one particular passage tonight, but there are many verses in this wonderful book that you've given us, the living word of God, that can encourage us and help us to work on being men and women of integrity. And Lord, the reason that we want to do that is because you were a man of integrity. When you walked the earth, you were a person of integrity. And Lord, we want to be that as an example of you, as an example of the believer. And Lord, we ask that while we are doing that, that you would bring opportunity to us to be a witness to someone else, that we can share their love. And Lord, that you'd be able to use us as a vessel of honor that will draw men and women to the saving knowledge of you. Thank you for all that have come tonight. Thank you for all listening. I pray that you'd help us to keep these ideas, these truths from your word in our hearts and minds as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name.